5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all of your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments, so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
They're done, aren't they? West Ham are done.
It's Gibbs White. It's perfect for Nottingham Forest. It's pain for West Ham United.
But what about West Brom?
Ndidi lifts that cross in. Oh, how about that for a finish? Abdul Batawu. It's heartbreaking for West Bromwich Albion.
Hello, I'm Ian McIntosh and welcome to Route 1, your concise yet comprehensive thrice-a-week show. It's football fast, no faff, so without any ado, let's go Route 1 in association with Fitstairs. Well, we got there eventually. Spiked on Monday because of Manchester United. I did worry a little at half-time last night that we wouldn't ever get round to discussing West Ham. But they get the full blast of our Sauron's eye today because they let their single goal lead slip and they lost 2-1 to Nottingham Forest and they are now 7 points adrift in the relegation zone. Now, in truth, this was far from their worst performance of the season. They made some chances, they had some moments. They briefly thought they were 2-0 up. And yeah, sure, I did start to write a show about Nottingham Forest. But then Sean Dyche's side came back to secure a hugely important victory. West Ham are in big trouble, and I put it to you, dear listener, that it is trouble entirely of their own making. Want some trouble numbers? Want me to prove my point? Brace for impact! They've only won 3 games all season. They haven't won in 10. They're 16th in the Premier League for XG and 19th for XG against. They've conceded 43 actual goals already, the most in the Premier League. They've conceded 12 goals from set pieces alone. And last Saturday, against one of the worst teams the Premier League has ever seen, they didn't even manage a single shot on target. Regular listeners will know that we have been beating this drum since the summer, so let no man, woman, nor child stand against us now. West Ham are shoulders deep in the brown stuff. But who's to blame? Well, I don't think it's the manager. Granted, he's flickered between 5 different formations already this season, according to the data site FB Ref, and he's occasionally deployed players in surprising positions. But Nuno Espirito Santo has been parachuted into this dumpster fire without the benefit of a pre-season or a transfer window. Not that West Ham tend to excel in those situations anyway. There is a saying in football and in business that to stand still is to go backwards, and it's a charge that's been levelled at West Ham. But I would argue that in the last 18 months, the Hammers haven't stood still. They have actually just gone backwards. They are, quite simply, a much worse football team than they used to be. And you can't get away with that now. Look at the standard of the Premier League. Bournemouth haven't won since October, and honestly, probably only 2 or 3 West Ham players get in that team. Brighton and Brentford are in the top half playing 4D chess in the transfer market, while West Ham are chewing Duplo bricks and dribbling on their own socks. And this is the most remarkable aspect of this sorry saga. It's not down to the owners being tight-fisted. Over the past 4 seasons, the Hammers have spent around £550 million while bringing in about £285 million. But the spending is weird. Last season, they dropped about £25 million on the then 31-year-old German target man, Nicholas Füllkrug. Who spends £25 million on a 31-year-old? He scored 3 in 26 and is now going on loan to AC Milan. Then they spent about 20 million on Lewis Gilherm, and I don't know if that's how you pronounce his name because I've barely seen him. The boy played just 275 minutes in 18 months, and now he's off to Sporting Lisbon at a £5 million loss. They spent £30 million on James Ward-Prowse, the Football Manager 2022 set-piece machine. And Nuno rates him so highly, he's literally never appeared on a team sheet for West Ham since he took over. And herein lies the issue. This West Ham team isn't a team, it's like a cross-section of the earth. You can see the different layers from all the different managers. And boy, are they different managers. They've lurched from the attritional achievements of David Moyes to whatever the hell Julian Lopetegui was, to the considered possession of Graham Potter, to the deep-line counter-attacking of Nuno. And because of all that, and the similar turnover of sporting directors, well, this is just a random grab bag of footballers. There's no balance, there's no ideology, there's no plan. And I don't think sacking Nuno and bringing in a third manager of the season is really going to solve this. I honestly think West Ham need a branding session as much as anything else, because I just don't know what they are right now. Once they decide on their identity, they can buy players for that identity, they can coach to that identity. But the time to do all of this was when David Moyes left. And while we're on David Moyes, I actually don't blame the supporters for effectively forcing his departure. If you're paying £1,000 or more for a season ticket and you're finding it a miserable experience, well, you've paid for the right to an opinion. It shouldn't prove impossible for a club like West Ham, with their Premier League status, their attractive and lucrative London location, their government-purchased super stadium, and their illustrious history, to recruit an appropriate manager. 10 wins will generally keep a team in the Premier League on the basis that any team capable of winning 10 times will likely draw a fair few as well. West Ham have 3 wins, so they have 17 games to find another 7. 7 wins in the first 17 games of this season would likely put you between 6th and 8th. So in order to survive, West Ham have to miraculously discover Europa League qualifying form. Now, reinforcements have arrived. Tati Castellanos made his debut last night after signing from Lazio. He spurned 3 chances, an XG of 0.52. Portuguese striker Pablo Felipe arrived from the bench. He lashed one over the bar from close range. Felipe's agent, by the way, is one Jorge Mendes, who is also Nuno's agent. And coincidences like that always worry me. Benji Lanyardo is a regular on the Totally Football Show and a long-suffering West Ham supporter. Benji, who's to blame for all of this?
Oh, I mean, I think a lot of people are to blame for this. I mean, the most obvious place to start is the board of the owners. I mean, throughout all of the ups and downs of the last sort of 10 years and the ins and outs of managers and players, they are the one thing that's been consistent. Their inability to sort of find any kind of guiding thread in our strategy, in our recruitment, in our football, it's really obvious now. As you've said, we've kind of lurched from one style of football to another, one style of manager to another. And it's never felt like there's any kind of clear, coherent plan. At the same time, I think that a massive backdrop here is the stadium move and the kind of malaise and the ennui that has sort of come with it. But I would say it was maybe an impossible deal to turn down at the time. I think if they hadn't chosen to move to the stadium, they would have been known as the owners who missed the biggest open goal in football history. I think the fans deserve a bit of blame for, you know, gradually ganging up on David Moyes and deciding that he wasn't quite good enough or his style wasn't quite sexy or fun enough for West Ham. And ultimately, you've also got to blame the players a bit here. They are good players who are not performing to the level that we need. We also have shown very clearly that we're entirely willing to sell our best players fairly quickly. We sold Rice when we absolutely could have held on for another season, like Forrest did with Gibbs-White, or Palace have done with Mark Guehi. We couldn't quite get the best out of Kudus, and again decided to sell as soon as a half-decent bid came in. So yeah, I think you can sprinkle the blame in multiple directions, but ultimately, I think it's got to fall at the feet of the owners, at David Sullivan and Karen Brady. I think a lot of this can be reshaped in their absence, and I think hopefully they will choose a time sooner rather than later to sell up.
Benji is the CEO of Picfair, a fantastic business that allows you to build your own online photography gallery and sell the pictures as prints and downloads. Check them out in the episode description. And West Ham are currently 5-1 on for relegation with our friends at FitStairs. So that's Betterquid win 20p. They're 3-1 to stay up if you're feeling particularly confident. If you like those odds or you'd like to see other odds and you're over 18, check out fitstairs.com. But please gamble responsibly. West Bromwich Albion have sacked their manager Ryan Mason after a dismal campaign that saw them lose 10 away games on the spin and slide down the table to 18th. If you watched their latest defeat on Monday night to Leicester, you'll know that it was a really unfortunate result. But this decision, I fear, is about the season as a whole, because there were expectations this year. West Bromwich Albion are one of the biggest football clubs in the Championship. They have one of the most loyal fan bases too, but they've been marooned in the second flight for 4.5 seasons now, and they look much more like getting relegated into the third than they do getting promoted into the first. But first, some context. The Baggies have been boing-boinging their way between the top two divisions for some time now. Between 2002 and 2021, they were promoted 5 times and relegated 5 times. Throughout that period, and up to and including now, the only season that their average attendance dropped below 20,000 was in COVID. I think they had a decent excuse. So where did the trouble start? Well, with an ownership change, of course. From 2002 to 2016, the club was in the hands of a particularly shrewd operator, Jeremy Peace. But he was evidently just shrewd enough to realise he'd taken the club as far as he could, and it was time to get out while the getting was good. He sold to a Chinese investment group for around £200 million. The Baggies survived a single season and went down in 2018 in a classic three-manager campaign. Hey, can you name those three managers? We'll pick up on that in a minute. Slaven Bilic took the Baggies back up in 2020, but they were ill-equipped for the Premier League, won just a single game before Christmas. Bilic was fired, in came Sam Allardyce, but to no avail. Down they went and down they stayed. In February of last year, amid sustained protests against the Chinese ownership, the club was sold again, this time to the American entrepreneur Shilan Patel. But of course, it's all a bit different now. There are no parachute payments. Annual pre-tax losses had risen to nearly £34 million in 2024, and last season they could only finish 9th. This season, under the respected but untested Mason, they were supposed to kick on, but kick on they have not. Chris Lepkowski knows this club better than most. He's covered them as a journalist for the Birmingham Post and Mail, and he's worked for them as communications manager. Chris, what went wrong? How much was down to the manager, and how much was down to what we should diplomatically call historic issues?
Well, West Bromwich Albion, where to start really? I think really Ryan Mason was the wrong appointment. Andrew Nestor spoke about data-driven recruitment. Well, he took on a guy who'd never been manager before, only interim. This is his third appointment, Nestor, because he did try to bring in Rafael Vicky before the failed appointment of Mowbray, and now this failed appointment. So there'll be a lot of heat on him. I think Mason's tactics really and he's the way he went about things got worse and worse during the season. Some of the substitutions were baffling. He created a goalkeeping crisis by dropping a young and impressionable goalkeeper who'd had a few shaky games, but also had some good games, and drafted in a deputy who was nowhere near that standard and ended up having to revert back to the initial goalkeeper he dropped in that final game. The strange thing is, in that final game, Albion looked like Mason had finally settled on his best 11, and that was the first time they'd all played together. That's the irony of it all. But there's no doubt that the backdrop, really, of the club's issues, financial issues, were a big hindrance. In the last 4 windows, they've lost a big hitter, at least one big hitter, to try and ease the PSR troubles. That 3-year cycle of PSR problems should end, or will end, this summer. So as long as, and this is, by the way, a legacy of Gook Shan Lai, not the current ownership. The current ownership have done outstandingly well to try and maintain the club within the parameters. But from this summer onwards, the club should be in better shape. It should be in better nick. It's just a case of making sure that whoever comes in now is the right manager to keep them in the Championship and hopefully grow the club into a better place and beyond next season.
Chris has got a new book out. It's called Slum Sport. It's a story of the 1985-86 season, and it is excellent. Find the link in the episode description. He's also the co-host of the West Brom podcast, The Liquidator, and we've linked to that one too. Oh, and those managers, Tony Pulis, Alan Pardew and Darren Moore. 3 imaginary points to you if you got all of them. What else is going on around the world then? Well, Liam Rosenia is the new head coach of Chelsea and he signed a 6-year contract. Let me tell you, the last person to survive more than 6 years at Chelsea was Dave Sexton, 1967 to 1974. His closest challengers are John Neal, 81 to 85, and Claudio Ranieri, 2000 to 2004. So good luck, Liam. Rangers, who you may recall being absolutely wretched under Russell Martin at the start of the season, are now in second place, just 3 points behind leaders Hearts after they beat Aberdeen 2-0 on Monday. Manager Danny Rowe has done incredible things there. Meanwhile, at Celtic, new/old/new manager Martin O'Neill reacquainted himself with the press and accidentally revealed that Dejan Maeda had been on the brink of a move to Hamburg, only to have it fall through, something that, it turns out, no one actually knew.
I think there was a bit of disappointment with him because the move didn't go through. I think it was to Wolfsburg, was it? I think last in August time. Am I telling you something that you didn't know? Am I?
Possibly, I suppose.
Possibly. Okay. That never happened. That never happened. It wasn't Wolfsburg at all. No, absolutely. I think it was Augsburg. Was it something else? No. Okay. Cut that.
And the BBC are reporting that Antoine Semenyo's £65 million move to Manchester City is all done, bar the medical. Bournemouth boss Andoni Iraola has said that he expects tonight's clash with Spurs to be Semenyo's last game for the Cherries, and he told reporters that he was impossible to replace, which is a bit of a concern given that Bournemouth haven't won since October. What have we got lined up over the next 2 days then? Absolutely loads. 8 Premier League games tonight. That's more than we get on a Saturday these days. They are all scattered across the Sky network. I won't waste your time and mine reading them all out, but personally, I'll be watching the first half of Fulham-Chelsea and then the rest of Burnley-Man United. Other options are available. There's also loads of Serie A on TNT. If you get home from work quickly enough, you might catch Napoli-Verona at 5:30. Parma-Inter is probably the pick of the later games. There's also Barcelona-Athletic Club in the Spanish Super Cup in Saudi Arabia. If sports washing is your thing, that's on TNT. On Thursday, don't call it a title showdown. It's Arsenal versus Liverpool. That's on Sky, and that promises to be, well, tactically fascinating at the very least. Atletico Madrid play Real Madrid in the Spanish Super Cup on TNT. And there's still more Serie A on DAZN, with AC Milan-Genoa being your standout evening game. Thank you so much for your messages. Friend of the show, David J. writes, with adverts and Piers Morgan, I think the first 4 minutes of Monday constituted too much faff. That's a fair point, David. We are obviously bound by external forces for adverts. I did want to explain why I'd said on social media that we were going to avoid obvious stories, only to cover the obvious story in the first show back. Hey, we may not be the biggest podcast, but we are transparent and accountable. Great job with the pod on Monday, says Mason Face. I like the format and I'm excited for thrice a week, he says. Well, me too. Hey, says Adam, where's Book of the Week? Tell me you haven't tinkered with that as well. We haven't actually got a Book of the Week yet. Adam, no one sent me anything. But in the meantime, I implore you to pick up Slum Sport by our guest earlier, Chris Lepkowski. It's really good. And if you're a of a certain vintage, it will bring back a lot of memories. Not all of them good. If you want to get on the show, drop me a line. I'm on Twitter, Blue Sky and LinkedIn. You can leave comments on Spotify. You can ask me anything you like. It'd be lovely to have you on the show. And one final thing, if you do like this show and you've got a couple of minutes spare, writing a review makes such a difference to us. So please do that. That would be ace. That was Route 1. It was Football Fast, No Faff, and it's here thrice a week, Monday, Wednesday and Friday. I've been Ian McIntosh. Your producer was Helena Fremantle. We'll be back on Wednesday and we'll see you then.